After the resurrection, Jesus taught the disciples for 40 days. On this third Sunday of Easter, every year, we read the various accounts of Jesus appearing to the disciples and teaching them. Jesus is preparing them for the mission that they will assume after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and Jesus' ascension. In order to take up this mission, the disciples need complete confidence that the power of Christ continues to work among them. And you can imagine that they might be a little doubtful about this. After all, they had committed years of their lives to accompanying Jesus, and then Jesus was killed. All the narratives of the appearances of the risen Christ in the Bible emphasize how difficult it was for the disciples to get over the trauma of the cross. Last week, we saw them cowering in the upper room. And today, Jesus approaches them on the road to Emmaus. They're looking downcast, discouraged, and talking about how their hopes seem to have been dashed. So the first thing the disciples need to be able to overcome discouragement is confidence that God is in control of the chain of events they are experiencing. Jesus says, "How slow you are to believe what is written in the prophets, that it was necessary that the Messiah, the Christ, would have to suffer." In the Acts reading, we see Peter on the other side of the 40 days after the resurrection, now preaching with confidence. Jesus was delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God. God knows exactly what he's doing in all that is happening. And actually, says Peter, all these events are the fulfillment of the promises about the Messiah that were made to David in the covenant that the Lord made with David. Peter shocks his Jewish audience by saying that God never really promised a victorious warrior Messiah after the image of David. Peter quotes Psalm 16, verses 8 to 11, and he sees in Psalm 16 that God, in fact, never said that the Messiah would not suffer. God says that he would not be abandoned to the nether world. The nether world is the underworld, which all people before Christ believed was the place where the power of evil dwelled. No matter what religion they followed, really, everybody had some idea of a nether world or an underworld. So Peter says, really, the Messiah had to enter this nether world and come out of it. The Messiah, through his suffering, confronts the power of evil more directly than any warrior Messiah ever could. And this idea eventually becomes the idea that Jesus descended into hell and came out of it triumphant. And that is part of our profession of faith today. And we profess it here every Sunday in St. Raymond. In the letter of Peter, which was probably written much later, the idea that Jesus descended into hell to confront evil becomes the idea that Jesus ransomed us from captivity to the power of sin. But however you look at it, and there were many different ways of looking at it in the early church, the basic idea is the same. All this teaching says we can have confidence no matter how we experience the power of evil in our life, no matter how we experience suffering in our life, we can have confidence that God has our back and God is in control. So we are called to follow the path of Jesus to confront suffering head on, knowing that God is in control and can transform evil into good. But if we're going to follow that path, like the first disciples, we have to return again and again and again and again to the Word of God in Scripture. That is where we learn how God does things. What is God's way of working to transform evil into good? So you see how the disciples got real insight from the scriptures. They say, were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus opened the scriptures to us? So let the scriptures set your heart on fire, as they did. Look on the parish website for resources to put you in touch with the Bible. The second thing the disciples need to be able to overcome discouragement is the confidence that the power of Christ will continue to work through them. So we see Jesus establishing the Eucharist as the primary way that the disciples will remain linked to his power. In the Gospel of Luke today, we see the Eucharist referred to as the breaking of bread, which is what the earliest Christians called it, the Lord's Supper. But the first Christians also knew from the beginning that the Eucharist was a renewal of the new covenant that Jesus had established in his death and resurrection. So the letter of Peter says, realize that you were ransomed from your futile conduct, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And that is part of our celebration of the Eucharist to this day. This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. Peter preaches to the first Christians in Jerusalem, Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God. This man you killed, delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, who used lawless men to crucify him. You can imagine how people would have felt hearing this for the first time. Peter says, your leaders assassinated Jesus, and you went along with it. But God was using all of you, allowing you to do what you thought would maintain order so that the depth of human sin could be revealed and so that the power of God to transform evil into good could be revealed as well. And Jesus says to the disciples, so that you remember this, you are going to renew the covenant every Sabbath day by looking once again at my blood. In fact, you are going to drink my blood so that you have absolute confidence that no matter how you may mess things up or misunderstand things, my power can overcome anything. My love for you, the love that made me willing to shed my blood for you, will never fail you. So in the Eucharist, we renew our covenant with the Lord, and we remember the Lord's faithfulness to us, and we commit ourselves to being missionary disciples of Jesus. We renew our confidence in the power of the resurrection. And we need this confidence now more than ever. This is a time when we could easily become discouraged. We heard going into this weekend that we will now face another month of social distancing. We may not be able to come back to worship to church even after that. But today we renew our confidence that God is in control and continues to work with us. God always manages to transform evil into good. God has the power to change suffering into love. So we need to be praying for and looking for how God is doing that in our community, in our families, in our own lives. And these are things that you can always share with one another online. How do you see God's transforming power at work in your life in the midst of all that is happening? And today we renew our confidence that the power of Jesus continues to work through us. We cannot gather in worship, but we are still renewing our covenant with the Lord, which is what the Lord is really interested in. The Second Vatican Council speaks about the Eucharist in much the same way that the first disciples spoke about their listening to Jesus. It says the renewal in the Eucharist of the covenant of the Lord with his people draws us into the compelling love of Christ and sets us on fire. So let the Eucharist set your heart on fire as you participate at home, as you pray the prayer of spiritual communion. Renew your commitment to living as a missionary disciple of Jesus. We are still being consecrated as the body of Christ in the world. Listen today as we pray for this consecration. Grant that by the power of the Spirit of your love, we may be counted now and forever among the members of your Son, in whose body and blood we have communion. Grant that all the members of the church may constantly devote ourselves to the service of the gospel. We are the body of Christ in the world. We still have our mission to follow the path of Jesus in transforming suffering into love through our own actions. And this health crisis can actually give us more opportunities to do that in the lives of people around us. So we need to be praying for and looking for how God is going to use us as instruments of transformation for the people in our lives. Sisters and brothers, God raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory so that our faith and our hope are in God.